Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Two Nerds Start, a podcast. I'm Eleanor, the Jamaican lab rat.
And I'm Derek, your local conspiracy theory expert.
And on our podcast, we talk about science, information, disinformation, debunking myths, exploring conspiracy theories, and analyzing the science behind them. So this week's topic is one of Derek's favorites. So I'm just going to hand over to him and let him take it away from here.
Right. So this week, we're going to be talking about a topic I discovered a couple of years ago. We're going to be talking about how the Earth is flat. Apparently. Okay. So you must have heard about this, right? The Earth, that people think the Earth is flat.
Yeah, right? It used to be flat. Did you know it used to be flat?
It used to be actually flat.
It used to be flat. Apparently, it used to just fall off. That's what our ancestors said.
Well, okay, so here's the interesting thing about that. That's not entirely true. A lot of our ancestors, or even, well, at one point, a lot of people thought that, but we've actually known for a little while now that the Earth's not flat. And I'll get back to that, but we've actually known for, you know, since kind of the time of the Greek philosophers.
Okay.
Like around 400-ish AD, and some places probably even before that. But, you know, the Greeks were the kind of originators of recorded history.
Yeah.
Greeks really started recording everything, right? So we know about it from them. But we're going to talk about it in kind of the modern context, but let's start in the past. So it's true that people kind of did believe it in the past, but very quickly, not really very quickly, but, you know, for a long time now, it's kind of been an insult. So
if I call you a flat earther, I'm calling you dumb.
Well, that's true now, and it was true in the past, okay, because different cultures would use it to insult other cultures. So they'd be like, oh, like the Greek people, for example, would be like, oh, those Vikings, they're savage, they're brutes. They think that the Earth is flat. That's how dumb they are.
All right.
Right. Which they didn't think so either. The Vikings did think you could sail off the edge of the world, but it wasn't in a context of the world being flat. It was a context of, like, more associated with their religion.
Okay.
But it wasn't that you... Like, you could sail off the Earth, but it wasn't because it was a flat disk. Okay. It was a little different there. But no, it used to be an insult in the past, right? And for a long time, it really wasn't, like, it really went away.
Yeah, because we know that the Earth is.
We know that the Earth
we
is.
We have a picture from space.
Well, we're, okay. Well.
We have a picture. I know we have a picture from space because I've seen it, Derek.
Going in modern day, I've seen it too. I've seen the lies. Going to modern day flat Earth, right? There's a couple of people who have become very vocal in it. So there was a documentary on Netflix. So this wasn't what got me into it. I've known about it. When I say got me into it, I've known about it before. And it's been the shadow that lies on my life for a few years now. Because it's the thing that haunts me, because I know that there's people out there. And they the same thing that I thought they said in the documentary, which is like, it could be anybody. Like, anybody around me at any point could believe that the Earth is flat, and that terrifies me.
But there are, like, some famous flat earthers.
There are famous flat earthers.
Like, there's Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Tila Tequila.
There's Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal is a flat earther.
Shaquille O'Neal is a flat earther.
Oh, no.
Shaquille
O'Neal. Oh, man.
Yeah. But that explains why he can't make a free throw. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Lakers fans will not be pleased.
I am
with
a Lakers
Derek.
Fan. The Lakers are my favorite team. I will stick with them till the end.
Congrats.
However, Shaquille O'Neal is one of the worst basketball players of all time. Now, he's just big, but that's not what we're talking about here. But there's a lot of famous ones. But I would say that, at least from what I've seen, they're not the the big, like, they believe in it, and because they're famous, it's like a celebrity endorsement.
Right.
But it's kind of like a celebrity endorsement of a scientific product where, yeah, it's the celebrities that endorse it, but they're not the ones kind of like the driving force behind the product. That would be the scientists. And in these cases, scientists, quote unquote, tend to be other people that, you know, aren't, for the most part.
I'm really interested to see how we, because as you said, we've known that the Earth has not been flat since, what, 4080? So I'm really interested 400. To see how we got back here. Like, why are we moving backwards?
Right. So we're looking. So this documentary that I saw was called Behind the Curve, and it's on Netflix. And I think it was great because it followed, I mean, parts of it was kind of just following the lives and drama of these people, which I think is important to this whole thing as a whole. But the aspects of it that were really interesting were when they were trying to show their evidence, right? So from what I gathered, and you know, I kind of looked up stuff for this episode because I was really couldn't wait to get to it.
You should see his face.
Yeah, he's because so you need to. I mean, it's just fascinating.
He has notes, handwritten notes, and typed notes.
I'm prepared. I don't think I've ever seen you. I didn't prepare this much for exams back in undergrad. But anyway, so it seems like one of the biggest people is a dude named Mark Sargent, and he, as far as I understand, he's just some random dude. He's not in science. He's just a dude who did all this research.
So he's not a trained
scientist. He's not a trained scientist. He just did a bunch of research.
Okay. Does he have research skills? Like, is he just...
Sort of.
Okay.
He sort of has research skills.
Okay. So we can...
I think this...
He's a scientific authority on me?
No. Okay. Well, Listen. He's a dude, and he wanted to, and this is something that I genuinely do think is true. I think that a lot of people that become flat earthers actually go into it wanting to prove it wrong, and are the ones that stay in it are the ones that feel that they're unable to prove it wrong. So they stay in it. So there's a couple of, so he's one, and then there's another big one, and you're going to love this. There's the other guy that's big in it is a guy named Matt Boylan. And he is a NASA reference artist. Or he's a contracted artist for NASA.
Wait. Like NASA, like the NASA. That goes to space. So, that has the picture of the round Earth.
So if you've seen concept, like public images for NASA.
Right.
You see images of like a space telescope. But you see the picture of the telescope with the Earth behind it. So obviously that's not a like actual picture, right? Because there's nothing taking that picture. Well, I mean, you might have like on right. So he is the guy that does the art for those things. Like he was one of he's not the only guy, but he did some art contract work, right? He has come out and claimed that one of the things he claims is that he was at like this party, and he was at a party, and that high-ranking NASA people told him that GPS doesn't actually work in the Antarctic, for example, because the Earth is flat. Those two guys.
What kind of party was this? What were they on? So many questions.
These two guys, they don't like each other.
Who? Mark
and Matt.
Okay.
They hate each other. And this is the other fascinating thing. You know, science is fragmented. There's people that believe in, like, for example, string theory versus Big Bang theory for the creation of the universe, right? Oftentimes there's not things you can be proven. I mean, there's unity in scientific fields when there's something that can be proven.
Even then.
Right. But even that, because like, you're not really going to find any reasonable scientist trying to claim the speed of light is not what it is.
Right.
So with just like the scientific community, they're fractured. One of the really good examples is going into it is they think there's a dome. Some people think there's a dome over the Earth, and some people think there's no dome. So there's like aspects of what they claim to be the truth that they're divided on, that they're not sure about. The one constant is that the Earth is flat.
Okay, no matter what else comes
the out, Earth is flat, right.
The flat Earth community agrees.
But that brings in, like, when I say that they disagree, there's drama.
Science drama.
Right. So that just kind of gives you like a little background into the idea of like the modern day flat Earth. That's kind of what's in large part running it. I'm sure that there's others, and obviously the documentary didn't cover everyone, because like I said, there's a lot of different camps. So I'm sure that there's big people in each of those camps,
right.
But I did not have the time at like 12 o'clock in the night last night to be checking out all of them. Anyway, no, I did more than that. So my first question, right, is why? Like why? Because...
Why do they think the Earth is flat?
Right. So in the past, it was an idea of like lack of knowledge. Right, this now is more of we're being lied to, right? So I messaged you last night, right? And I said that I was looking back at my notes, and I wrote a note down, and I didn't know what it meant, and I just had the words globe equal gateway drug, and I couldn't remember what I meant by that. And then I thought about it for a while, and I remembered a lot of flat earthers, from what I've got gathered, for the reason why they're trying to claim that believing in the globe is the gateway that the government and the powers that be use to convince us of other things.
Oh my God.
Like they tell us this one universal truth to like get us to hooked into starting to believe them without quote unquote without proof. And that way, like they get to tell us other things without proof, because so we're like,
there's no rationale for them telling us that the earth is spherical, other than the fact that if we believe that the earth is spherical, we'd be more likely to believe the rest of the lies.
The only other thing that I saw was that somebody gains from it financially, but nobody knows who it is.
Oh.
Nobody, like, no.
So some dark shadowy figure
is
operating a conspiracy.
One of the things that one of the big guys in the documentary said was that if you know the person's name, they're a front, because that's how secretive it is. Like, it's so secretive that you will never actually know anybody in charge. So anybody's name, you know, any of the options, they're all fronts.
All
right. Right. So it's that's what globe equals gateway drug meant. Okay. It's, they're just kind of luring you in. Right. So their whole model focuses around a few things. One, it focuses around the earth being flat. Right. That's the main thing. And then a couple things branch off from that. So the sun and the moon aren't real. They are spotlights in the sky, essentially.
Whoa.
This is fun. Normally, I'm on the receiving end of these things. If you watched our, the Sex Myths one, I was the one hearing all this wild stuff.
Okay.
This is, I see the other side. Oh, I love it.
This is stressful. Okay, so the earth is flat. Sun and moon are spotlights. Who is operating these spotlights? Or we don't know.
You know, that's a really good question.
The shadowy figure making all the money is the one.
No, I think the aspects of it, like the spotlights and stuff like that, are just nature. Those aren't.
So why can't it just be the sun and the moon? I don't understand.
Well,
why would that not fit into the narrative?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. If the sun and the moon were a thing, it would imply that if they were as we know them. Okay, so one of the things is that if the earth was flat, we wouldn't have a day-night cycle, because it would just be, if the sun was out in space and the earth was flat facing the sun, it would just be sun all the time. To explain the day-night cycle, they basically say that the sun sits hovering over the earth and then moves in a circular pattern in the sky.
Okay, so the earth is like a plate.
The earth is a plate.
And then the sun is just over
the sun hovers over the plate.
Just chilling.
And then moves
going around the edge
in
of the
circles
plate.
parallel to the plate. Yeah. Parallel. Why couldn't I say that word? Parallel to the plate.
Okay.
Right. So that's the idea, because otherwise.
So where's the moon?
It's there as well. And it moves. It's like on the opposite side of. So that circular orbit of the sun, the moon is on its opposite side at all times.
Okay.
So they both move around and around and around. Right. Because that way, what it is that with the sun being, the sun is also a lot smaller in their model. The sun's a lot smaller, a lot closer to Earth. So that way, it's like a spotlight. So if you shine a spotlight down on a stage, you can have part of the stage in shadow and then part of it illuminated by the spotlight. It's the same. That's how they explain the day-night cycle. When you're in nighttime, it's because the sun has moved away from you. And there's a problem with that many of our listeners have probably already figured out, especially if you did anything in the theater, which I used to do, which is a very obvious problem, but we'll get there. So the other thing that they have is like gravity, right? Gravity isn't real.
Right.
Because.
So the sun isn't real.
Right. What do you think their explanation for how we stay on the flat disc is?
I mean, who even knows anymore?
The flat disc is rocketing upwards through space-time.
Why is anything even moving? Why couldn't this just be like, since everything is flat, we could just be chilling and wouldn't need to...
Well, because they assume that something needs to keep us there. Right, everything would float.
Earth is moving up.
Right, so instead of us being pulled towards the center of Earth at 9.8... Right. Earth is just moving up indefinitely. I mean, I guess it's... In a sense, that's one of the truest things, because Earth does rocket through space constantly.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to end, because space is endless. So we are moving through space. So I guess the idea that we're rocketing straight up through space endless is not impossible, because space is infinite in all directions and dimensions. So
I can see that.
Right. Okay. But in addition to that, this is my favorite one. Okay. You've watched Game of Thrones, right? You didn't watch Game of Thrones? Okay. You know enough about Game of Thrones. You know that there was a giant ice wall in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
According to the flat Earth model, if you think about it, on our real globe, there is ice on the top and ice on the bottom.
North Pole, South Pole.
For now. But right. So there's ice on the top and ice on the bottom. In this model, this is very difficult to describe. But the South Pole is a wall of ice that circles the disk.
So where's the North Pole?
The North Pole is in the very center of the plate.
Okay, so we have the plate, and in the middle of the plate is ice.
Right.
And then around that ice in the middle, you have land and water.
Right. And the world. Yeah.
And then the edge of the plate, you have another.
Yeah, there's a wall of ice going around the edge of the circle. That's the South Pole.
Is that why we don't fall off?
That's, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, nobody can go through the ice wall. You cannot.
Why not? Has anybody tried?
They claimed that there was going to be expeditions to do this.
Uh-huh.
And people have actually gone and explored Antarctica, but sure. But yeah, no, they say that it's not possible to make it through the ice wall. So those are kind of like, that's like, that kind of explains the main parts of their model. The okay, sun.
Before we continue, I have a question back up on the spotlight.
Okay, sure, please. Right?
Explain the stages of the moon, how that would work. Because we know we have the stages of the moon that we see based on
this gets into a part
reflects.
I think this gets into a part of that. That's one of the things I was going to say was the moon doesn't let off its own light, yeah, as I'm sure our listeners know.
In case you didn't know.
So having the spotlight theory doesn't explain how the moon is reflecting the sun's light.
Yeah.
It would have to be that the moon is illuminated.
And then why would the spotlight, if the moon is really a spotlight, why would
the phases of the moon happen?
Right.
Right.
Why would you have half a spotlight?
This comes to my next thing, which is that they think that, I think, this is what I've gotten. They think the sun and the moon are natural occurrences, but that governments have devised methods of affecting the way that they appear, like that they're programmed. If that's it, that I, it's
how
this is a major problem with them. Their theories don't fit together a lot of the time
because they're bullshit.
Right. Because, yeah. Because, for example, they acknowledge other planets, right? Even if you subscribe to the idea that, okay, Earth is rocketing straight up and, okay, going straight up at 9.8 meters per second would give the same effects of gravity, mostly. Not exactly, but sure. Well, no, it would give the same effects of gravity because we're moving up versus being pulled down. And sure, you could argue that the sun and the moon spotlights are also traveling up at the exact same speed, but then the other planets are acknowledged to exist and are acknowledged to be moving around the sun.
Are the other planets also flat?
Oh no, they're round.
So why are we the only flat one?
Because we've only seen the other planets, Eleanor. We haven't seen Earth. Keep up. So, right. So, like I said, a lot of their models don't fit in. But that's the general way that they kind of, you know, there's a lot more detail, but they say, you know, the sun and moon are fake. There's a giant ice wall around. Gravity's not real. Earth is a flat. Oh, that also means that, so, the furthest away land masses would be Australia and South America. Because essentially what they're doing, and this is,
so they're just starting the world from the top.
Kind
of.
So
they're putting the top of the world in the middle of the plate.
Right. So if you can kind of picture it as if they were grabbing the bottom of the earth and peeling it open to make it flat.
Right.
So all the southern parts move away from each other.
Right.
So Australia and South America are on opposite sides of the plate. Right. So that's how they kind of explain. You now may be asking, what kind of evidence do they have for this?
I'm so excited. I know that you said that one of the guys is a researcher, so I know that there's some facts here.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I said one guy is kind of a researcher. This is their biggest evidence, right? What they can see.
But hold on. I saw the picture of the Earth from space. I don't need to see anything more.
But if you remember, the gentleman from NASA... has informed us that these pictures are fake.
Tell me what they can see.
They can see, so for example, listeners here in Jamaica, and in the U.S. too, it's actually easier in the U.S. because you tend to have higher buildings, but here in Jamaica, if you stand on our north coast at certain places and you look at the right direction at nighttime, you can see the lights from Cuba, which is the island north of us. In places in the States, you can stand really far away and see the tops of buildings of large cities because they're so high up. Because you can see this, if the Earth was curved, you wouldn't be able to see this. Yeah, because you'd be too far away. You'd be behind the curve, so it wouldn't curve. But you can look out and you can be like, oh, there are those lights right there.
I'm looking out the window now and I'm seeing like some...
You're seeing, right. That's the idea, which is obviously why that's wrong. But I'm not going to... If I was to mention all of them and then immediately shame them, we're going to be here for hours and hours and hours.
So we'll keep the shaming till then.
We'll keep the shaming till then, all right. I think. That way it keeps us a little bit... Right. So that's the first... That like their main thing is what they can see rather than measurements. And there's some of them that have tried to use measurements, but I think you'll see why. So the main thing is what they can see. So like faraway buildings. The hilarious one that I saw was, because I just kind of was looking up evidence. My favorite one was that NASA, right, apparently sounds like the Hebrew word for deceive, which is apparently Nasha.
But NASA is an acronym.
NASA is an acronym. Two, Nasha, I looked this up because it didn't sound right. It didn't sound like NASA. And then when I was looking this up, Nasha is like a really, really rare word to use. It's not commonly used. It's a biblical word. You very, very rarely see it used in the Bible, except for in very specific contexts. And technically, it does mean deceive, but it's one of those very, very rarely used words. It's like a stretch to right.
You know, when they can't put everything. Make everything so straightforward when they're coming up with a conspiracy. Come on, they gotta hide the
one of my favorite things, and this was kind of this was actually pointed out by one of the people in the documentary, one of the flat earthers, and I found it so funny because like I said, there's drama in their communities. Some of them think that some of them are government shills being like feeding out misinformation up like they do think the Earth is flat, but they think that some of the information that some of them are giving is half information, like false information, so about the flat earth.
Even infiltrated the flat earth community,
right?
And so some of the people that we think are real flat earthers are not flat earthers.
And one of the methods, and I found this really funny, that she pointed this out, is that her name is Patricia. This lady's name was Patricia, and because the last three letters in her name are CIA, they were claiming that she was a CIA, Yeah. And she pointed out that why would the government do that? Why would they leave clues that she's
right?
Anyway, so going back to their evidence, one of their pieces of evidence, which the guy claimed that he looked at for months and months and months, was that there's no direct direct flights in the southern hemisphere. So remember, in their model, the southern hemisphere, landmasses are far from each other, right?
So there's no flights because they're too far.
Right. And I looked it up. $1,500 is the going rate for like a flight from Australia to South America. So that's pretty cheap for a flight that doesn't exist.
Okay.
I mean, it was, I was saying, so man, that's like, no a steal.
He couldn't.
He was watching a flight tracker. He was watching a flight tracker. He was saying for months that he didn't, like those live flight trackers where you can see all the planes. He was saying that for months he didn't see any planes like around the south or going south or pathing south. And then they showed in the documentary an actual, you know, I don't remember if she was an astrophysicist, but she was a scientist. Showed her going to the same site and then within like 2 minutes seeing a flight coming from like a southbound direction.
Okay.
So and I think she saw another one going southbound. And then another thing, I remember, like I said, they focus on things you can see, I guess see or feel is more accurate here, because they claim that we can't be moving through space except for the moving up because we don't feel it.
Yeah, but I don't feel the moving up either. So why is that one true?
No, they say you feel the moving up because that's what's keeping us down. So because we're moving straight up, that's why we get pulled downwards. That's the gravity feeling. So they say you do feel that one. But the feeling of rocketing through space, and more so the feeling of the rotation of the Earth, they're saying that we don't feel.
That would be uncomfortable.
What, feeling the rotation?
Yeah.
That would be deadly. We'd be dead.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
We wouldn't be alive. Right. And the very simple answer to that is because we're moving with it. But,
yeah.
Right, which is why, I mean, yeah.
It's not like the Earth is moving and then we're like, oh, wait for me.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you're driving in a car and you throw a ball up, it's not going to fly through the back of the windshield. It's going to come back down in your hand.
Yeah.
Right. So those that's kind of their like evidence. Like it's a lot of stuff that you can feel. And the big ones that I saw were basically that you can see like further away things, even though there's supposed to be a curve. And the other big one was that we don't feel the movement through space.
Okay.
Right. That's what they're saying, that the Earth can't be rotating.
Super robust evidence.
Right. Well, they have some proof. Oh. Basically, they're saying that their proof.
I'm so excited.
The biggest aspects of their proof is that you can see the buildings. It doesn't matter what math says because you can see the stuff that's far away. Right. That's I think that's their biggest one. That's what I got. Was that? Because even when I was looking it up, trying to find, like, the one that kept repeating was being able to see things that are far away that should be behind the curve if there is a curve.
But Earth is so big.
Right.
Compared to these, I mean, the buildings are tall, but I right. mean, in comparison to the freaking Earth.
Yeah. So, right. And that's, and there's like variations of that.
So hard to understand.
Well, there's like variations of that. Because one of the things that they're saying was that if a ship is sailing away to the horizon, and this was really weird because they kind of brushed over the part that the ship disappears from the bottom up because it is going over the curve. So you can't, like, you fail to see, like, the last thing you can see of the ship is the topmost part of the ship, like the masts, right? They kind of gloss over that in a lot of the articles that I was looking at. But
of course.
Right. But what they're saying is that you can then take, when you can't see the ship anymore, you can take binoculars and see the ship again, which is true. And they're saying you wouldn't be able to do that if there was a curve. But you can only do that because it hasn't actually gone over the curve right. yet. You just can't see it. But that's their biggest piece of proof is the things you can see. There's other been like individual experiments, like the guy who took a level, a bubble level or spirit level, I've heard
on
it called.
Plane, I've on heard a plane,
on a plane, yeah. Yeah, he took it on a plane because the idea is that if you were flying around a globe, the plane would have to curve to allow you to go around the sphere. It's not how it works.
Well, okay.
It's not how it works.
So the plane would be curving all the time. So we'd just be in a plane that was just.
Mm-hmm. So for listeners that don't know how the flights work, because I've actually never right before I saw this, I never actually thought about how it works because I hate planes, but I don't like flying. Flying's bad. Don't fly. But the way that these planes work is that they go up in the air, they fly not curved, they fly level, and as they fly, the Earth, one, moves underneath them, and they are also moving forward, so that's why it can be that quick. And then they descend over their location. That's
right, because first of all, the fastest distance between any two points is always going to be a straight line.
Right.
So the plane is going to fly in a straight line.
Right.
And then when it gets to over where it needs to be, then it will.
Yeah. Descend. And in fact, if you were to look at flight trackers, you'll see that the flight patterns are often curved. That's only because on a flat map, it's hard to mm-hmm. represent exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. On a globe, if you were mm-hmm. to do it, it would be a straight line. Mm-hmm. But because there's curvature to the Earth. On a flat map, they represent that by showing the curved line of the transit. And that's why it ends up looking the way it does. But they are flying in a straight line. Well, I mean,
yeah.
They might divert because not to crash into another plane or avoid a storm or something along those lines. But, you know, that's why. So that's another one. And then there were the experiments that were in this documentary. Okay.
Dum, dum, dum.
Do you know what a gyroscope is?
That's that thing that measures balance. It's like a level kind of vibe.
Sort of. So it's got a spinning disc in the center, right? And the disc is mounted on an axis that's also free to rotate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's used to measure like variation in leveling or tilts or things like that, right? That's why your phones have it. That's how your phones can kind of tell if they're being turned or not.
Okay.
Right. So they took a gyroscope, and they took what's called a ring laser gyroscope, and ring
laser fancy.
Yeah, they're super precise. They use lasers and mirrors to in the place of. They're very complicated. I'm not explaining it now. I barely understand it. It works though.
It's a lot of physics.
There's a reason why I didn't do physics in Cape. No, but it works because of the way the Earth rotates, which is about 15 degrees per hour because we have 24 hours, right? You will see a very, very slight drift in a gyroscope if you have it mounted for the entire length of time. A normal gyroscope is not really going to detect it. A ring laser one can.
Because it's super sensitive.
Right. How much do you think a ring laser gyroscope costs?
That sounds expensive.
Yeah.
Like super expensive.
So we have scientific equipment.
I'm going to say 5,000 US.
You would be correct if there was a 4x discount applied to this, because it's 20,000 approx. And that's probably like an older model one. That's probably not like a new version one. I mean, it'll still work, but it's 20,000 for it. Okay. Somebody in the flat earth community bought.
These people have so much money before they go and.
Some of them have money.
World hunger.
Right.
They're like buying.
So they bought one.
Okay.
They bought one and they wanted to measure any drift, right? Because again, like I said, after an hour, you're going to have, drift. Guess what the results showed them? The results showed them a drift of about 15 degrees every hour.
I was going to say, was it like, something familiar?
So here's. And
okay, so clearly they're wrong. Clearly the experiment proved to them
Eleanor, you're thinking
curved.
Small
I mean,
scale.
Come on.
You're thinking small scale.
Okay.
Clearly what this experiment truly proved
is
was
that
the
governments have bought the gyroscope.
No. The gyroscope was measuring the curvature of the sky and the rotation of the sky.
What?
Yeah, I don't
know. So now the sky rotates?
Yeah, because it needs to. I also don't know how the rotation of the sky would affect the gyroscope.
Yeah, isn't the gyroscope on Earth?
So they decided to fix the experiment by putting the ring gyroscope into what's called a zero Gauss cylinder. So a zero Gauss cylinder is just, it's a cylinder that's designed out of a certain material in a certain way to reduce any electrical fields inside to zero, right? Now they did this because they had to block out, and I am quoting here, I'm not making up this term, the heaven energy that was affecting the results. They got the same result. So the next thing they naturally have to do is, in case it's in bismuth instead,
to block out more of the heaven energy.
Yeah, I looked up bismuth. My girlfriend's a geologist. I asked her.
That's why you looked it up.
No. I looked it up. I asked her. I was serious about this. Was a little while back. I was serious about this. I asked one of our professors. I wanted to know why bismuth.
Okay.
There has to be something about bismuth.
Yeah.
There's nothing about bismuth.
What do you mean?
Bismuth doesn't block anything. Bismuth is not used in anything.
Though,
it sounds fancy, but it's not.
Some bismuth.
Unless there's some. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. If any of you know,
yeah,
sure.
I don't know where there's some geologists out there, some physicists. I don't even know what field this would fit into.
If you use it in your field.
If you know
you
anything
could use
about
it.
Bismuth.
Anything about, but I could, there's nothing about bismuth that implies any kind of like shielding or blocking or anything like that.
Because you don't understand heaven energy, Darren.
I don't understand heaven energy, but it's not blocked. I understand that it's not blocked by a zero Gauss cylinder.
Okay.
So that was the problem.
So did the bismuth work? It had to work, right?
Oh, they didn't do that one.
Oh,
that was the next thing that they're going to do, but they hadn't done it at that time. So that was just a shame.
Should
They had a better experiment.
Oh.
And they had an experiment that... No, they don't. I mean, this was a fine... This was an interesting experiment, but this was much better. And I loved this experiment because when I heard that they introduced it, I was saying, how are they going to get out of this one? How are they going to explain this one? And I couldn't think of anything. It was... And you're going to have to follow me here.
Okay.
They set up three posts, right? Quite far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Miles apart.
On the ground?
On the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to shine a laser at 8 feet high on the first one.
Okay.
Right? Then they were going to angle that one so that on the third one, it would hit exactly 8 feet.
Okay.
8 feet high. Then they were going to put one in the middle and measure where... On the post, that one hit.
Okay.
If the Earth is flat, it's going to hit at 8 feet.
Right.
If the Earth is not flat, it's going to hit below 8 feet.
Right, because
it's
going to
because of the curve.
Okay.
Because the ones on the further end will be lower on the curve, quote unquote.
Right, than the one in the middle.
That's right.
Okay.
Guess what? It measured like five point something feet. So the middle one. Well, actually, no. To be fair, their experiment. They couldn't get it to work.
I wonder why.
Because this was more hardware. The laser didn't focus enough. The laser that they had, so it was like spreading out, so they couldn't pinpoint
measure,
up right.
Right.
But they did. They did another one that was similar in nature, but instead it was two posts and a light.
Okay.
And they had it a distance apart, and then they essentially shunned the light through at one height, and then if it's flat. It's going to be the same height.
And that's what happened, right? And they proved that the Earth is flat.
Right. So what happened was that didn't happen. And he had to hold the light above his head higher. And then they saw it. And then that's what the documentary cut.
They did it, man. They proved it.
They proved flat earth. They proved something, right? So that was like, and this is the thing. Those two were both in the documentary. And looking outside of it, because I've been looking, I can't really find any experiments done that demonstrate anything.
But there was that daredevil guy that was trying to prove that the Earth was flat, and he went up in his rocket.
What?
And he died.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, he bought a rocket for like $20,000.
You can just buy rockets?
He's rich.
What if this is the same guy that bought the gyroscope?
The first one he did two trips. The first trip that he did, it didn't go well. The parachute didn't. But he's like, okay, I'm going to do it again.
Wait, and he survived that one?
Yeah, he survived the first one. So he's like, okay, I'm going to do it again. He got a better rocket.
He's a daredevil.
But no, I think something, it crashed and the parachutes didn't deploy in time. So he didn't make it. But he was going to prove that the Earth was flat. That was the point.
He got awarded the Charles Darwin Award.
Or that.
Like I said, didn't see any. There was no, you know, outside, external anything that I could find that, you know, even remotely. What I could use, and this was funny because they accused science of just throwing math at them to try to disprove them. The only things that they had that
isn't
could...
Isn't that the point of math?
Well, the only thing that they had that could quote-unquote prove it was math. So they didn't have any, like, physical evidence because it didn't work, right? So that's all I have in terms of that. That's all, like, I can remember.
Okay.
So I guess we can get into the bashing it now.
Oh, yay!
So, Eleanor, why can we see buildings that are far away?
Because the Earth is way bigger than these little tiny buildings that we think are so big, like on a scale level.
Right. So the curve, there's a curve, but we're not that far away on the curve when you can see the buildings.
Yeah.
Like realistically speaking, like the distance between Jamaica, for example, the north coast of Jamaica and Cuba, it's like, I mean, you could drive it. If we were connected, it's less than the it's less than the East Coast and West Coast of the United States, and you can drive that.
Yeah.
It's realistically not that far.
Yeah,
right. It's not like you're saying that you can stand in LA and then see buildings in China.
Yeah,
right. So you can see you're not that far. I think we talked about the planes already. They just go up and down.
Yeah, they don't. I'm just trying to imagine being in a plane that was just
curving. It would be like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Just be like
for like 9 hours. Yeah.
And you know, actually no, it wouldn't even be like a roller coaster because
there'd be no variation. It would just be like
it would just be a constant curve that you felt. And it would be really annoying too, because it wouldn't even be like you're leaning.
Just be falling. Yeah.
You'd just be barely falling because the curvature is so slight that you'd just be barely leaning forward in nature. Don't give them fuel. Don't give it fuel.
Okay.
No, well I guess the level would have shown it, but
the level.
Right, but the level was flat, right? So there was the there's the buildings, the planes. Why don't we feel it moving? Because we're moving with it.
I'm not moving with the Earth. I feel the Earth.
You're not
all
moving
the
with
time.
The
Earth. Yeah.
What are you on? What are you on?
I'm just on a different plane.
Or drugs. That's what I've always heard. I can feel the Earth move, man.
The Earth moving.
No, right. So we're moving with it. That's why you don't feel like you're moving when you're sitting in a car.
If
it's moving.
I feel like I'm moving in a car.
So you feel like you're moving in a car?
You don't
well,
feel the movement
we don't.
Of the car?
Well, you see, we have bad roads, so what we feel is the bouncing of the car.
Don't you feel moving in an airplane?
When the airplane when it stops.
You don't feel it when it's flying.
No.
You actually feel
what are you on?
I feel movement.
I
feel movement of
actually,
cars.
That's exactly where motion sickness comes from.
Yeah.
So what?
From feeling the movement.
No, from seeing the movement and not feeling it. I mean, they have motion sickness as feeling but not seeing the movement. But if you could feel and see the movement, then you wouldn't get motion sickness, yeah. But you get it from seeing the movement but not feeling it. But we're moving with it, that's why. Now, the spotlight sun.
That one sounds doubtful.
That
spotlight sun, this is the one that I'm...
This is my favorite one. Or one of my favorite
ones.
Who
is controlling the spotlight? Is it just automated and it goes
This
around?
Is what I cannot figure out, because some people seem to be saying it's natural. Some people seem to be saying it's like the government projecting the sun into the sky.
Which government? Like the world government?
Yes.
That's also the question.
No one knows. The Illuminati,
figure.
The Freemasons, the things behind the Illuminati. Who knows?
Okay.
The shadowy figures.
The shadowy figures.
Right. But my favorite one is that I don't know if you've ever sat in a theater. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing a spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Just picture this, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Theater spotlight. You don't have to be in the spotlight to see the spotlight. and the light from the spotlight. You can see it from the seats.
Yeah.
So that would mean we could see the sun from anywhere,
yeah,
at all times,
yeah,
every point in life. There would be, there,
but it would, you could see
it. You wouldn't be in it.
Yeah, it would be shining.
Yeah, but I can't see the sun at night. I don't know what you're on. Because you can.
I think that your imagination isn't big enough.
What? You're
thinking of a theater as opposed to the whole world.
You can still see, if it's bright enough to illuminate the world, you could still see it. That one's a funny one. That one, well, I mean, they're all funny, but that one was the one that instantly kind of stood out.
The spotlights move up with us, right?
I guess, yeah, we don't crash into them, so they must.
They're also moving,
I guess,
at the same speed of gravity.
Yeah. Dark energy is what moves, apparently.
So there's nothing above the spotlights,
mm-mm,
holding them up.
Some people think there's a dome above it, right?
That, so the dome is the sky.
Right. Some people, but there was one guy, I really like this one guy, because like I said, there's different camps. So they were asking, there was like this panel, and they were asking one of the guys in the panel about the dome. And he was basically like, he doesn't want to confirm or deny because he's yet to see any evidence of curvature of the sky that would indicate a dome.
Okay.
And if there's no dome, by the way, the idea that if there's no dome and it's just what's called an infinite plane, they still think there's the ice wall, but they think that outside of the ice wall is just more copies, not necessarily like parallel Earth style where it's the same thing, but just more Earth surrounded by more ice walls, just infinitely expanding because there's nothing outside. What? Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I prefer the dome theory.
I think
snow globe.
At least I saw there was a guy who made the models, and I was genuinely it made me want one watching him build one because it looked so cool, like the amount of time he spent and how meticulous he was. I was like, this is really good quality. I almost want one.
Yeah,
it even had the spotlights that rotated around. Yeah, he built it in. He had like the lights, the two of them, and they would spin
maybe
around.
Maybe he's the shadowy figure.
No, he's telling us the truth, so he can't be the shadowy figure. But that's what there's merch for Flat Earth. That's why somebody is benefiting from people thinking the Earth is flat.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. But then that one I think is one of my favorite ones, right? And like I mentioned before, we've known the Earth is round for years, right? I have it. It's supposed to be Plato, but I glanced at my notes a while ago and I have Plate. So we're going to call him Plate. So Plate...
Platey boy.
So Plate discovered in around 400 BC that he assumed that he figured that the Earth was round based on some stuff that he could... Funny enough, stuff that he could see, right? He also thought we were in the center of the universe, but you know...
Yeah, that was a thing.
You win some, you lose some. Give and take. This is 400 BC.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have the internet. So Plato was a Greek philosopher. He had lots of students. His student, Aristotle, who... Again, and these are names even people that are not in academia may have heard.
May have, yeah.
Aristotle, Plato. His student, Aristotle, a couple years later, because remember, BC, you count backwards. So this was 400, so then in 380 BC, he discovered that, he's different. And he did that really simply by using, again, stuff that he could see. He didn't even measure anything. He just traveled south and saw different stars, different constellations in the sky. Oh. Which you...
Super simple.
Super simple. On a plate. You would see the same stars everywhere.
Yeah.
On a dome, on a curve, you would see different ones as they... And they also... it wasn't even just that he saw new constellations, because he didn't just travel south and then look up. He looked up the entire time he was traveling south and saw those constellations rising higher in the sky as you changed. He changed his angle towards it. You know, and even more than that, this is my favorite one, because I think this is really cool. This shows how... powerful, simple methods of simple scientific methods can be, right? So there's a dude named Eratosthenes. Don't make me say it again.
Eratosthenes.
Yeah. And he was, again, Greek, as you can probably tell from the name. Yeah. And he proved not only that the Earth was... I mean, to say that he proved the Earth was round, I think at this point is misleading because they knew it was round. But he was actually able to, I guess, further prove it and actually calculate the size of the Earth.
Okay.
Right. So essentially, he used to live in a city called, he used to live in Alexandria, right? Ancient city. There was a small city south of Alexandria that he heard that on a certain day of the year, which was the summer solstice, which is
June
the longest.
June 21.
Right. The longest day in the year. Well, I don't even know if it was, it wouldn't have been called.
Vicky, that's her birthday.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's cool. Ooh, she's magic. Right. So on the longest day of the year, at exactly noon, you wouldn't see any shadows because the sun is so perfectly above head in right. this city that you wouldn't see any shadows.
Right.
That was the city south of where he lived. So what he did was where he lived, he put a stick in the ground and waited mm-hmm. till exactly noon mm-hmm. and he could see a shadow.
Okay.
Now on a flat disk, it would be the same thing everywhere.
Right.
Right? Because it would just be shining straight right. down. On a curve, you would see a shadow. But he was able to go further and take more measurements of shadow angles at different times. And he was able to using math, calculate based on the change of the size mm-hmm. of the shadows mm-hmm. and assuming that the sun was so far away mm-hmm. that the sun's rays were all hitting parallel, not mm-hmm. at an angle.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to figure out the circumference of the Earth. The unit that he used, no one is 100% sure what the unit means.
Okay, so what it would convert to.
Right.
Okay.
But based on his number and what is assumed, because they're kind of like 75-ish% sure they know kind of what the conversion would be, he was somewhere between 1 to 15% error rate.
Okay.
So he was pretty accurate. I mean, like nowadays, that's considered a big margin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're thinking thousands of years ago, right?
He was in the right ballpark.
He was definitely like close. So I think that's really cool. And that also showed that it was, you know, round, right? So if there's anybody who thinks the Earth is flat listening, I don't know if I've convinced you, and I don't think I have, because I think.
I mean, yeah, if you're a flat earther, I'm sorry, this is not the podcast for you. Okay.
It's not. But I think there's a reason for that I do want to talk about. It's less science, but more, I guess, a perception of science and it's scientific thinking. But given all of those reasons, right, I was thinking about why people think, even though there's, you know, mathematical evidence, there's photos from space, there's no real reason why we would be lied to. There's no, you know.
Because in 2020, like, don't we have enough problems and to wonder who is lying to us?
So I was like, why do these people think this, right? Do you have any ideas? Like, I have an idea
because they're dumb.
I actually don't think it's because they're dumb. Actually, I don't think these people are not dumb,
uh-huh.
right? Hang on, hear me out. I think these people want to be special.
Those two things kind of exist at the same time.
Kind of, but I don't think that they're dumb. I think that if they can do the type of reading that they've done and the type of research, because why I said he's kind of research is he has put in time into researching this. The problem is he just doesn't know what to research properly. And I think there's another problem, but that's the first one, is that they're not scientifically literate, which I don't think they're dumb.
Okay.
Right. But I think they want to feel special.
Right.
And I think that's evident by the amount of drama that's in it, because a lot of them want to be.
Agree.
Right. There was one of the guys, the guy Mark Sargent, he kept saying, oh, he doesn't care. He literally has a shirt that says, I am Mark Sargent on it, like a flat earth shirt.
Who does that?
It's like, weird. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get a shirt. I am.
Kind of weird, Oasis. Okay.
I'll get you one too, Eleanor. Don't worry. No.
Good.
Right. So there's a lot of drama. They want to feel special.
Okay.
Is the thing. They want to feel, I think, that they've discovered something. They want to feel like, because
they'll be an elite group that know more than all the scientists.
Right. Because they'll say things
smart
like,
people.
Right. They'll say things like, oh, we've connected dots that no one's ever connected before. Like they want to feel special. Right. And I think this, a lot of it is from people that like aren't well connected to the real world. Like,
okay.
They're kind of like reclusive or like, you know,
and then also
they want
to be
in a group.
I guess the good thing and the bad thing about an internet is that now you can connect with people in this community. So
right.
You might want to feel special and you see like 50 other people that are.
Exactly. Right. So they want to be included.
Connect in that sort of community.
Because a lot of them, they take it like further. Like a lot of them don't believe in vaccines and don't believe in GMOs. And it's like a very similar group of people that are able to believe this. And I think it's because they want to feel like they're special, they're above it. Because there's a lot of actual, one of the people they had on this documentary, which is why I liked it, because a lot of times in documentaries like this, I know I'm talking a lot about the documentary, but that was the inspiration for doing this one, I guess. they had a psychiatrist in it. They actually had both. They had a psychiatrist and a psychologist, right? And that brought an aspect of not just like raw science fact of why the earth is not flat. Because everybody, like, not everybody, but we know the earth isn't flat, right? But the partial interesting thing about this documentary was it kind of gave some insight into what people might think. Have you ever heard of the imposter syndrome?
Yes.
In science?
Yes.
Why don't you have it? Me too.
We all have it.
Why don't you tell them what it is?
Basically, the imposter syndrome is sort of where you feel like you are faking it.
Right.
So you don't feel like you really achieve your achievements. You feel like, how do I explain this? You feel like an imposter. Feel like
the more you actually know about something, the more you think you must be. And it happens to me because I find myself constantly looking up things that I know I know.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I need to verify. Like, and it'll be the same thing repeatedly. And actually, it's almost as if the more times I look it up, the more I feel like I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm saying,
to make sure.
Just to make sure, right? Yeah. It's like that whole 2 + 2 in the calculator thing.
Right.
You're sure about it, but you're just like, I just gotta know. Yeah. Right. But there's an opposite effect to that, which is the Dunning-Kruger effect. And that is, the less you know, actually, is the more confident you feel that you know everything about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes,
I see that every... Yep.
Yeah. That's an actual thing. Yep. And and then
what's it called? The
Dunning-Kruger effect. Yeah. Okay. And that's a problem because when somebody with the Dunning-Kruger effect meets somebody with the imposter syndrome, that becomes a problem because the imposter is almost less confident.
Yeah, so they kind of...
Right. So it's easier to shrug it off, right? I'm not saying that the professional in this case would be convinced by the other person. They know, deep down they know, but it's the confidence in bringing that out, mm-hmm, that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, you have confirmation bias.
That we all are guilty of.
We are all guilty of confirmation bias. Because one way of looking at science that I've always thought of is that science is a pathway. Because you start at point A and then you have an idea or you have a doubt or you have a thought that's the end goal of point B. And you need to figure out whether you're right or wrong. Science is just a path that you take to get there.
Okay, I like that.
Right. And the more efficient your path is, the faster you'll get it. If your path is wrong, you're going to end up at the wrong place with the wrong conclusion. Right, all of those things. The problem with these, a lot of people like this, is that they start at point B, which is they start at the conclusion. And they're like, okay, this
support our conclusion.
And they ignore everything else. And then that reaches a point where you're not being skeptical anymore. You're in denial. Because with these people, with a lot of people that believe in flat earth, there's nothing you can tell them to convince them that they're wrong. Yeah. And at that point, that's when it becomes not skepticism. Like, that's just, you can't talk to that because
you can't fight that with logic. There's nothing.
Right. There's nothing that you can say. It becomes an unfalsifiable statement to them, which is a problem because I think even people that believe the earth is round, if you gave them irrefutable evidence, if you gave me evidence, like scientific evidence, like actual scientific evidence that the earth was flat, I'd believe the earth was flat. If there was evidence to support it.
If you came to the episode today and you came with some, you know, if they had done some experiments in the documentary that actually makes sense and there was some data, we could be like, wait a minute.
If the two experiments that I said with the gyroscope and with the laser, if they had shown that the earth was flat, I would start saying, okay, this might be the case. And then as scientists ourselves, we'd probably... listen, if they showed that, I would start to do my own experiments. For them, and you can see it in the experiments, even though the experiments were showing them contrary evidence, they just kept piling on more and more reasons why. Oh, it needs to be in a zero Gauss cylinder. Oh, it needs to be encased in bismuth. Okay, right. They just kept piling on other methods to say, yeah, no, this is why it's wrong. And they're more than just cherry picking. They're at this point just falsifying information at that point.
Because if you're on it,
And it doesn't work. But like I said, they're not dumb. I think that these people are
I feel people that deliberately choose to ignore evidence that is available to them and in front of them, I think they're dumb.
Right.
That's me.
I think the question becomes of what you call dumb, because
These
are people that are capable of thought.
But not critical thinking.
Thinking, but they're capable of looking up stuff and
functioning humans.
And to some degree, being able to cherry pick information and come up with ways to support your what you believe in a way is very smart, because you have to be able to figure things out.
That's a skill in itself.
That's a skill in of itself. They just are scientifically illiterate and they don't trust. Again, they want to feel special, and that's why they believe that they can't trust. Because the biggest thing to me that breaks them apart is not the scientific evidence. It's the fact that they can't even come up with a reason why. Like, the best reason that they can come up with is, oh, they want you to believe this so that they can convince you of other things.
There's no, like, justification. How would we be better off or worse off if
right.
the earth was flat as exactly. opposed to round?
Like, why? Who's lying? Because, I mean, even if you're saying people are making money, even if it's the companies that make globes, ooh. Well, why didn't they just make flat earth models instead?
Like, maps.
Like, exactly. Why didn't they just do that? Why didn't we just have fancy, you know? Nobody's making money. They can't tell us why exactly. That's the biggest thing to me. But like what you touched on, I think that it's a problem because, and this was, there was one part of the documentary that was hard to watch. Out of all of it, I was like, okay, this is, I mean, there were parts where it was frustrating because I was saying, no, it's not. The part that was hard to watch was they had a convention and young people were there.
Oh yeah, kids.
Right. Kids were there. People were telling stories. I don't know how true they are. I hope they're not true. But they were telling stories about young kids in like first, second, third grade, where like half the class or a third of the class would argue with the teacher telling them the earth is round because they've learned that the earth is flat. Eleanor just held her head.
You're so screwed as humanity.
Right. And hopefully those kids grow up and realize, yeah, okay, no, that's not the case. But not all of them are going to.
Yeah.
And that it's just, it's almost intentionally blocking advancement because it's,
we're moving backward.
Right.
This should not be a debate. In 2020, we should not be still arguing, is the earth flat or round? We knew this from what, 400 BC?
Right. Because the earth being flat doesn't matter. Even if the earth was flat, it doesn't matter. But the other beliefs that come along with that of like, for example, like I said, a lot of them don't believe in vaccines.
Because it's all one big conspiracy.
Because it's all one big conspiracy. So
or climate change.
Exactly. Well, that's not real.
No comment.
Not yet. You're going to have to comment eventually.
We'll do that.
My episode. Favorite thing to do is to deny things to Eleanor, like climate change. And then she tries to ignore me all the time, but we're going to do an episode.
Okay.
And you won't be able to ignore me anymore.
Oh, okay. Don't worry. I'll be ready for you.
Well, you can't ignore me in the episode.
I'll be ready for you.
Ooh, that's great. Right. But yeah, it gets passed on. And it continues, and that's where these problems come. Hopefully, and you know, I think I encourage people. I think that confirmation bias, imposter syndrome, the Dunning-Kruger effect. I'd never heard about it before I started looking it up.
You ever heard of imposter syndrome?
No, imposter syndrome. Okay. I had Dunning-Kruger. I didn't know oh, it like okay, worked right, in the
right,
opposite.
Right.
Because I mean, I guess if you think about it, it makes sense.
Makes so much sense.
But I didn't know. All of these things I think are things that people should. I don't think they're inherently known, and I don't think that they're really taught enough, but I think it's important that, especially confirmation bias,
it's really important
if you're interested in doing any kind of research, like not even for, you know, your profession, not like you want to join academia, but even if you just want to be more knowledgeable about things, it's important to remember not to start from your conclusion. Or you can start at, you have the idea that you think, like you're like, oh, this might work. But if you want to go investigate that and research that, don't go in thinking it will work. The important thing is that
not trying to tailor your results to make it work.
To make it work, exactly. Yeah.
Because if it doesn't work, that's still, and people don't understand, if something doesn't work, that is still adding to the scientific field.
Right,
because
Now
we know that that doesn't work.
Most of science is failure.
Most of science is, okay, this didn't work, this didn't
right.
work, this didn't work. So we know in the future. These are the things that are wrong. So
right.
That's
and you document that so somebody doesn't have to waste time trying it again.
Yeah.
And that, it is important, but it's fine to be wrong. I would tell the student, like, because we teach, well, somebody abandoned me in teaching the undergrad labs this time around, but sure.
Took a break.
Uh-huh. I miss her so much. But I tell the students all the time that it doesn't matter if your results were wrong, and it doesn't matter if you, like, we're trying to extract DNA and you didn't get any. What's important is you say why you got what you got. Like, just because you didn't get it, we're not going to mark you down for that.
We mark you on your explanation.
On your explanations, because at the end of the day in science, that's what matters, how you explain the thing. And what you can get something from anything
Is
the thing. Yeah. But no, so is the Earth flat, Eleanor? Obviously it is. Everything I have told to you was just an example of how I can manipulate you people. The Earth is flat. Don't listen to anything that I've said.
Okay. Well, I guess that's all you need to know about the Earth.
Just listen to me. Trust me. I would never lead you all astray. The Earth is flat. There's no microchips in vaccines.
All right. So the official view of this podcast, Two Nerds Start a Podcast, is that the Earth is round.
You have a flat Earth shirt.
It's spherical. I have a flat Earth shirt that I didn't wear it today.
You
did. But yeah, I do have a flat Earth shirt that Derry bought me. I'll post a picture of it.
Oh, she will. Great. Y'all are going to love it. It comes down to her two favorite things, the fact that the Earth is flat and vaccines.
And speaking of vaccines,
I think that'll be our next episode.
Our next episode is going to be on vaccination.
I'm excited for that one as well.
Yes. Do you have anything else to say on flat Earth, or can
I think that's about it, because yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I could talk about this for hours.
We know.
It's because there's so much that they add in.
I just want to make fun of the people for hours. That's
I don't want to make fun of them. Uh-huh. I actually think that it's that making fun of them is not going to help. Because if somebody is looking down on you, you're not going to change your views.
Yeah, I've heard that argument for anti-vaxxers as well.
Right. So I don't look down on them. I see them as...
I'll do it for you.
No. They are misguided and incorrect, mm-hmm. but they are not lesser people. Mm-hmm. So I will not shame them. Mm-hmm. However, many of their aspects, they just don't...
They don't get it.
They don't... It doesn't add up.
Maybe they are on a flat Earth. Maybe their Earth is flat.
They're on a different Earth than us. Yeah. They're on a parallel Earth, just interacting across. Nobody's outside the ice wall. Maybe the White Walkers, but that's about all that could. And as long as they don't get a dragon, we'll be fine. Game of Thrones. We're not going to talk about anything on Game of Thrones.
All right, listeners. I think that's it for this episode.
I think so too.
So much for listening. As we said, our next episode is going to be on vaccine.
I think we're both really excited for that one. This one was more my super excitement.
Yeah, I'm excited about vaccines.
Yeah, vaccines are going to be fun.
I'll try to be nice to anti-vaxxers. If you want to follow us on social media, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Nerds Pod. That's at the number 2, NERDSPOD. I didn't say it right. Two Nerds Pod.
Close enough. We'll put it. You'll see it.
You'll see it. Don't forget to subscribe. Drop us a like. Give us your feedback. If there's any topic that you want to hear us talk about, any correction. Remember, if you know anything about bismuth, hit us up.
Oh, the bismuth. Yeah. If you can prove to me, anybody that can prove to me that the Earth is flat, I'm saying it right now. Anyone that can prove to me that the Earth is flat, you will get $50 million.
What kind of dollars?
That's not the point.
What kind of dollars?
That's not important.
We need you on the record.
So we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. 2 Nerds Start a Podcast. Hey, listeners. Welcome back to 2 Nerds Start a Podcast. I'm Eleanor, the Jamaican lab rat.
And I'm Derek, your local conspiracy theorist expert.
And, I'm sorry, I lost it. Totally lost it.
You finally lost it?
Oh!